Just a few months ago, there was this great conflict with cable providers and DSL providers being very uptight about cities becoming involved in Wi-Fi. In our particular case, we had no objections from them. Some might say they have more matured with their understanding that they won't be able to block Wi-Fi. It's a reality, and they're going to have to work with it, or as some may say, compete with it.
That was Kevin Duggan, Mountain View's city manager, talking about some of the obstacles his town overcame on its way to becoming the largest city in the U.S. with community-wide free Wi-Fi. I'm Catherine Giraudeau, and this is PodTech News on Thursday, August 17th. Imagine for a moment that you're a city manager, and a local company comes along and tells you it wants to lease all your lampposts for $39 a pop and give your entire city a free wireless network. No wonder the Google Wi-Fi proposal got a standing ovation and passage in a single meeting by Mountain View's City Council. I sat down Wednesday afternoon at Mountain View City Hall with Kevin Duggan and Economic Development Manager Ellis Burns to talk about working with Google to get their town unwired. Ellis Burns was in the trenches with Google, making the Wi-Fi project happen. I asked him how the whole thing got started.
And they said that Google would be willing to deploy the network, they'd be willing to pay for it, that they would provide the transmitters, they'd do the maintenance, they would do the promotion of the Wi-Fi. And at the same time, they'd also pay the city for the use of the streetlight poles, because one of the assets that the city has that's critical to the system are streetlight poles, which is where the transmitters are deployed. So it seemed like a very good deal to the city.
Could you say no to that?
Well, that's true. So with that information, I then brought it forward to the city manager.
And what did he say?
Well, I said, well, we could make some money and get free Wi-Fi. That's a pretty good deal. And we needed to work out all the details. We needed to explain it to the community. We needed to work with the city council as the final decision makers. But it wasn't that tough to do because, again, it was a very exciting proposition. And not only were we being provided a great service, which people rely on more and more kind of in their daily lives, but we were able to make a little bit of money in the process too. So we thought it was a very generous and a really unique offer from Google, and one we were more than happy to take them up on it. And they wanted to do it pretty expeditiously, and we pride ourselves as one of those governments who can move quickly, unlike another example to the north. But we were very pleased to be able to move quickly and show them we could respond, and then they've done their part of it, and they've delivered as they said they would.
So how much of a source of revenue is renting the light poles going to be for the city?
We lease the poles on they're $36 a year. So we generate between $12,000 and $15,000 a year. So in the grand scheme of things, it's not a large amount of money.
What a lot of people don't realize, though, is one of the real benefits for us having Google in town is actually the Googleplex is on city-owned property. So they pay us substantially more for leasing the property from us for their buildings than they do for the light poles. But the amazing thing is, again, to get the service without any installation costs, without any maintenance costs from the city's perspective, and then get, again, this token amount, that is a very unique circumstance.
And do you see this project as Google just being really a benevolent citizen, or is there some catch?
I don't know if I would call it a catch. I think what Google's always said to us when we met with the city council and told them about this idea, Google's interest is really, I mean, it's part of their business model, and part of what Google is interested in is that they're interested in how people access the internet. And what this is new technology, and they want to better understand how this technology works, where the opportunities lie, how it best works within a community.
And Mountain View is just the second city in the United States to be covered with free municipal wireless. Does that change the national status of the city somehow? Have you been inundated with, calls from the press? How has it changed Mountain View?
Well, we've been very fortunate in the community in that we've gotten a lot of attention about a number of different things. A lot of people don't realize that right down the block, two people started Netscape. And I think many of us view Netscape as really the start of general public access to the internet. So we think it's very appropriate for this type of advancement, basically, to occur in Mountain View because, it, you know, in a sense, I won't pull an Al Gore. We didn't invent the internet in Mountain View, but the folks who really made it available to the general public did, in fact, begin here in town. So we think this kind of comes full circle. What we think is particularly unique is this is something where taxpayers did not pay for this.
And Google's agreed to maintain this network for how long?
Our agreement with Google is for 5 years, and then they have 2 5-year options to continue.
It sounds like sort of this magical, you know, good fairy comes and drops this wireless system onto the city, into the city of Mountain View. However, I'm sure there were some obstacles involved in making this happen. Can you talk about some of those?
There are a variety of obstacles. I think it was a whole new concept. How to present this, how to present it to the city council in terms of we'd like to make the entire city wireless, just to understand that concept. I think there are other hurdles in terms of better understanding what assets we have. For example, one of the things we learned, you know, we own streetlight poles in about 90% of the community. The other 10% are owned by PG&E. And so we had to work with PG&E, although we haven't, there's a portion of the community that would not be covered because of those PG&E poles. We're offering people another way to access the internet, yet at the same time, we didn't want to conflict with some of our existing cable providers, for example. So we also wanted to make sure that we weren't conflicting with them as well. So we tried to be sensitive to that.
How?
Well, in terms of our agreement, in terms of what types of services that Google provides, I mean, that it is open, that it is really providing a free service. That's probably the most significant. If there are certain services that a resident is being charged for, that everybody would be charged for it and so on. So if somebody wants like to upload video, for example, that would be something that most likely somebody would have to pay for that service. So there's some distinctions that we tried to make in our agreement with Google.
You mean people using the free Wi-Fi will have to pay to upload video?
It depends on what the service is. As they begin to identify the different services. So it's a possibility in the future. We just don't know.
What I read or what I thought about this network is that, you know, it transmits data regardless of what the data is at a certain speed.
Right. Again, it is a free service, and whatever services are allowed to be free or that are free will continue to be free.
Maybe the best way to describe it is this is not meant to be, let's say, a competitor with cable television where you end up having a fee to get certain programming that under our agreements with the cable television company, they have certain obligations on how they conduct business and whatever. So if this was to evolve into something different where it became more like a seller of video services, then that might, you know, we might have to talk to Google about that. But not as far as basic downloading of generally available material. Again, this would be more of a commercial application, and what would the ramifications of that be?
It sounds very complicated because, in fact, the internet is starting to replace television and cable television, and there are all sorts of partnerships between companies like Google, internet service providers, with entertainment companies. So seems kind of complex for a city to have to wade into this stuff.
We're going to be careful not to wade into it any more than we have to, unless there's some direct conflict with some of our other contractual obligations or some of our other roles in regard to franchising. We're actually going to do our best to avoid those kinds of issues, and we think by and large we'll be able to. But, you know, certainly what this is new, it's different, it's experimental. We think it'll go very smoothly. But, you know, we do realize there may be some unexpected issues, but Google has been extremely cooperative, and we're not at all concerned that if there are issues, and we're not anticipating them, but there are issues that come up in the future, we're quite confident we'll get them worked out. But we certainly don't want to be a government that says, well, you know, there's some doubt about this or doubt about that, we can't do it, or we don't want to do it. We'd much rather say, okay, everything is changing, but we need to be nimble, we need to be flexible, and there may be some issues we need to address down the line, but we're not just going to say no simply because there's, you know, a 3% chance we have to talk about something later. So that's really our philosophy as an organization. We try to be a non-bureaucratic city. So we'll wait and see what happens. You know, as you know, just a few months ago, there was this great conflict with cable providers and DSL providers being very uptight about free Wi-Fi or cities becoming involved in Wi-Fi. In our particular case, working with Google, and I think keeping good communications open with both the cable provider Comcast and with now AT&T DSL provider, we had no objections from them. So maybe everybody's maturing in regard to the understanding that this has to be a very open field, and we're certainly going to be part of that conversation.
So how did you get Comcast and your other providers of wired services to back off?
They never actually expressed a concern. Now, we don't know, frankly. We know in some cities where the city has begun to fund these with city resources, they've had some objections. We don't know if the city not using any tax funds for the system was a difference. We don't know if the Google doing it was a difference, or whether or not some might say they have more matured with their understanding that they won't be able to block Wi-Fi. It's a reality, and they're going to have to work with it, or as some may say, compete with it. But for whatever combination of reasons, it wasn't an issue here. And we anticipated that it might be. They might feel a bit threatened, but that hasn't occurred. But I do think they realize the playing field is different and has changed, and they need to, they can't put their finger in the dike and prevent it from happening, but they need to adjust to it. So we were pleased that there wasn't any conflict over that issue.
It's also a matter of speed, is that the what we see is the Wi-Fi network, as we understand it, is faster than a dial-up modem, but it's still not as fast as a high-speed DSL line. I was going to say, the other thing really that sticks in my mind is the aspect of Google in terms of working with the community, which has been, and is their ability to, they've been very responsive in terms of providing information. They've rolled out, which you've probably heard about, they've had a couple of community training programs that have been very well received. And having attended one of those training programs, when you have 300 people going out to the Google complex to attend a meeting, gives you an idea of the interest in Wi-Fi, so they provided information to get the community kind of ready. And I think they are planning to do, I think, another training program later in August or early September. So I think it's an indication of their interest in working with the community. They like working with local businesses, which so they have that sensitivity, which we appreciate. And also the fact they also have a number of employees that live in Mountain View. So they've been very responsive.
I'm wondering what kinds of community building the city is doing and Google is doing in terms of maybe reaching out to technologically underserved populations.
As we understand it, I think that they have, and I don't know absolutely, I know they've been trying to work, they were working with the school districts to make sure that they are linked up, and I think they have some plans and to start looking at how they may be able to service some people that may not have access. I mean, this is...
Are there terminals, public terminals in the library, for example, where people can just sign on with an anonymous ID or something?
Yes, there absolutely is public access to the library. In fact, we've increased the number of internet-accessible computers at the library. So, but the one thing that's really unique and maybe the first in the country, isn't it separately, but very complementary to this effort, is Google has provided $200,000 for a mobile library vehicle, which we just rolled out within the last 6 weeks, which is probably the first vehicle of its sort where it has Wi-Fi access. And in fact, on the exterior of the vehicle, there are internet accessible computers that are using the Wi-Fi to access the internet. So people can come to our mobile library as it travels around town and access the internet completely free of charge. And we basically not only have the Wi-Fi for them, but we bring the computers to them also. So that's not the answer to the whole question, but that's very unique, and it provides one more option for people, even those who can't, senior citizens as an example, who can't make it to the library, and folks who, for one reason or another, have difficulty with access. So that is another great partnership with Google that very much blends into what we're trying to do and provide as much universal access as possible.
They've actually, one of the things in terms of outreach is we were getting phone calls from neighborhood associations. And Google was very, very responsive, because there were several neighborhood associations in the community were interested, want to know when it was going to be deployed. There were even some associations, for example, some of the new subdivisions in the community actually have their own streetlight poles, And so they wanted to know, how is it we can get transmitters located on our on the streetlight in our small community? And so Google was able to work with them and get an even separate agreement. They've been very receptive, but I also think it's the nature of our community to be open to innovation. And that's the thing that's been most exciting, I think. You know, I look at it as another way to attract businesses, that this is kind of one of the benefits of locating in Mountain View as a business, is you'll have not only access to through the Wi-Fi system, the internet, that you'll be able to advertise. And some of the things is, for example, local-based advertising. Then there's also the attractive piece that I think there are going to be other businesses that will want to, there may be some synergy of other businesses and technology companies that are interested in experimenting and working with, you know, to have a community where they may be able to test other types of equipment, wireless equipment and so on, how it works, so they can begin to roll that out. So there's, we think it creates some new opportunities.
Something else that Ellis is aware of and obviously will be monitoring is there's an attempt to bring Wi-Fi to the entire region through
Silicon Valley Wireless Network, which is currently sponsored through joint venture, and it is a consortium of covers 1,500 square miles and approximately 40 cities throughout the Bay Area, and we are a participant, although we have the network already in place, but certainly we'll be a participant as they begin to look at that network. So it is conceivable that Mountain View and Silicon Valley could be one of the first regions in the country to really have a wireless network system.
Well, thank you so much.
Welcome.
That was a conversation recorded Wednesday afternoon at Mountain View City Hall with Kevin Duggan, City Manager, and Economic Development Manager Ellis Burns. Thanks to Father Demo and Giovanni Zaccardi for their Creative Commons licensed music, Down to the City. This is PodTech News.
Hopefully you can get 60 seconds out of that.
Oh, no, you can move that one.